Title: Low-End Pressure FX Chain Design Workflow from Scratch in Ableton Live 12 for Jungle Old School DNB Vibes Intermediate. Alright, welcome in. In this lesson, we're building a repeatable low-end pressure mastering chain in Ableton Live 12, aimed straight at that old school jungle and early DNB feeling. Heavy sub, chesty kick, rolling movement, and punch that stays controlled. The mission is simple: more weight, more thump, stable mono sub, and louder without turning the low end into porridge. And quick mindset check before we touch anything: mastering enhances what's already arranged well. If the kick and bass are fighting in the mix, no mastering chain is going to magically fix the relationship. What we can do is stabilize, tighten, and translate that relationship so it hits harder everywhere. First, set yourself up like a pro so your decisions don't lie to you. Step 1. Headroom. In your mix, before we do any mastering, make sure your master is peaking around -6 dBFS, maybe -4 at the absolute hottest moment. If you're already slamming near zero, you got no space to shape anything. Step 2. References. Grab one or two reference tracks that are genuinely in the lane you want. Classic jungle, old school DNB, whatever you trust. Drop them on their own audio track and level match them. This is huge. If your reference is louder, you'll think it's better even if it isn't. Put a utility on the reference track and trim it so when you switch back and forth, the perceived volume is close. Now, one more coaching move that will save you time. Create a calibration loop. Pick a 16 to 32 bar section that includes the full drop, the busiest break fill, and a moment where the bass line changes notes. Do your tweaking on this loop. Don't master to the easy section. Master to the hardest section, then the easy section will automatically behave. Cool. Now we build the chain on the master track. Device 1. Utility. This is your gain staging and mono management. Add utility at the very top of the master chain. Start by adjusting gain so the loudest part of your loop is peaking around -6 to -4 dBFS before limiting. You're basically setting a sensible input level for the rest of the chain. Now, the jungle rule: sub needs to be solid and mono. Turn bass mono on. Set bass mono frequency to about 120 Hz as a classic safe zone. If your bass is super clean and very sub-focused, you can lower that to around 90 to 110. The goal is that anything that feels like true low-end weight stays centered. Optional. If your mix is too wide down low, you can reduce overall width slightly, like 90 to 100%. Don't overdo it. We're not trying to flatten your stereo image. We're trying to stop the sub from wobbling left and right. What you should hear right away, if the mix had stereo junk down low, is the kick feels more centered and the sub stops doing that swimmy thing. Device 2. EQ 8. This is where we clean and carve so pressure can actually exist. Add EQ 8 right after utility. Start with a high-pass filter for sub-rumble cleanup. Use a 24 dB per octave high-pass around 25 to 30 Hz. Keep it subtle. You're not deleting the sub. You're just removing pointless subsonic energy that steals headroom. Next, the classic DNB mud zone, 220 to 350 Hz. Put a bell there and pull it down maybe -1.5 to -3 dB. Cue around 1.2 to 1.8. This is often where the kick's boxiness, bass overtones, and break congestion stack up. If you want a bit more kick chest, you can do a gentle boost around 55 to 80 Hz, depending on your kick's fundamental. Keep it small, like +0.5 dB to +1.5. If you boost the wrong frequency, you won't get punch, you'll get boom. So here's a fast trick. Temporarily drop a tuner on the master and listen to a section where the kick is clear. You're not tuning the song, you're just checking where the kick is strongest. Common old school zones are around 50 to 60 Hz or 70 to 80 Hz depending on the sample. If your breaks are crispy or harsh, a small dip around 3 to 6 kHz can relax the bite without dulling the whole track. Again, small moves, -0.5 dB to -2. And here's the workflow tip. If you're hunting mud, you can sweep with a narrow cue briefly to find the ugly spot. But once you find it, widen the cue and cut less. We want musical control, not surgical destruction. Device 3. Glue compressor. This is for cohesion and punch without flattening your breakbeats. Add glue compressor next. Start with attack at 10 milliseconds. That's a sweet spot, because it lets the initial kick transient poke through before the compression grabs. Set release to auto ratio to 2:1. Now set the threshold, so you're seeing about 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction on the loudest sections. You're not trying to clamp the whole track down. You're trying to gently bind the elements together so the groove feels like one unit. Turn makeup off. We'll manage levels deliberately later. And turn soft clip on. For DNB, That soft clip can save you from nasty peaks and keep things feeling loud without sounding spiky. What you're listening for? Kick and bass feel more connected, breaks sit a touch more forward, but transient still have life. If the breaks suddenly feel smaller or the groove feels less excited, you're compressing too hard. Device 4. Multiband dynamics. This is where the low-end pressure really gets built, because we're controlling low-band density specifically instead of squashing the whole master. Drop multiband dynamics after glue. Set the band split points as a good DNB starting place. Low band 20 to 120 Hz, mid band 120 Hz to 5K Hz, high band 5K Hz and up. Now focus on the low band, because that's the pressure zone. Use standard downward compression. Set the ratio around 2:1 to 3:1. Attack around 20 to 40 milliseconds, so the initial thump still breathes. Release around 90 to 160 milliseconds. At 165 to 175 BPM, roughly 120 milliseconds often breathes musically with rolling bass. Adjust the threshold so that when kick and bass hit together, you're seeing around 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. If you're consistently at like 5 or 6 dB, you're probably turning the low end into a pumping blanket. Pressure is dense and controlled, not sucked and wobbly. Then, if the low band feels quieter after compression, add a little output gain back, maybe plus half a dB to plus 1.5, but always listen level matched. It's easy to confuse louder with better. For the mid band, keep it gentle. Aim for close to 0 to 1 dB of gain reduction. If you overcompress mids, your breaks lose energy, ghost notes disappear, and suddenly it doesn't feel like jungle anymore. High band is optional. If hats and cymbals are sharp, a touch of compression can smooth them, but keep it light. This chain is about low-end authority, not killing your top end. Important coaching note here. Watch low-end length, not just level. Your spectrum might look fine, but if the kick and bass tails overlap too long, the groove will feel slow and smeared. If it's floppy, often the fix is timing. Release times, density control, or arrangement breathing room, not just EQ. Device 5, Saturator. This is the translation tool and the vibe tool. Add saturator after multiband dynamics. Set the mode to analog clip. Start with drive around 2 to 4.5 dB. Turn soft clip on. Then pull the output down to match level so you can /be honestly. Why we're doing this? Pure sub can vanish on small speakers. Saturation creates harmonics that let the bass line read on phones, laptops, and cheap systems, while still keeping the true sub clean underneath. If you want a bit more character, enable color. Set bass around 200 Hz, depth around 2 to 4. That can add a subtle thickness in the low-mid harmonic area. But be careful. Too much color can inflate 250 to 400 Hz, and that's exactly where mud lives. Listen for chewy and present, not fuzzy and blown out. If you can clearly hear distortion as an effect, you've probably gone past the sweet spot for classic jungle flavor. Optional jungle edge. If you want extra grind, you can experiment with drum bus very subtly or roar very lightly before the limiter, but keep it disciplined. If you add aggression, check that your low mids don't swell and your limiter isn't suddenly working twice as hard. Device 6. Limiter. Final level and protection. Put limiter near the end. Set the ceiling to minus 1.0 dB. Look ahead can stay default. Now push the gain until you see about 1 to 4 dB of gain reduction on the loudest hits. If you find yourself needing 6 to 8 dB constantly, that's a red flag. It means the chain or the mix isn't controlling peaks earlier, and the limiter is being forced to do the job of arrangement, EQ, compression, and clipping all at once. That's how you get crunchy breaks and flat drops. Also use limiter behavior as a diagnostic. If you push level and the brakes dull first, you're likely driving broadband loudness too hard. If the kick loses punch first, you probably need better low band control earlier or shorter low end release times. And remember, old school vibes often feel better with a little transient life. You don't have to brick it like a modern hyper limited tune to get impact. Now, metering and confirmation. Don't guess. Add spectrum at the end. Set block size to 4096 and refresh to fast. Use it to confirm your sub focus and make sure you don't have an ugly low mid hump building up. If you have max for live, add an oscilloscope too, just to visually confirm that the low end looks stable and centered. This isn't about pretty pictures, it's about catching obvious problems. Here's a quick master check loop you should do every time. First, /B with the chain bypassed at matched loudness. Use a utility gain to match levels if needed. If your processed version is louder, you'll automatically prefer it. Second, check mono. The easiest way is to put a utility at the very end and toggle mono, or set width to zero briefly. If the sub drops a lot in mono, your low end is relying on stereo information, and that's risky for clubs and big systems. Third, do a quiet volume test. Turn it down. Can you still follow the bass line? Can you still feel the kick relationship? Quiet listening exposes whether your low end is actually readable, or if it only feels good when it's loud. Now let's add a few arrangement-aware ideas, because pressure is not only mastering, it's also giving your master room to breathe. Classic move, drop the sub for one bar before the drop. Instant tension, and when it returns, it feels huge. Another one. Kick only hits every 8 or 16 bars, with the bass resting briefly. That gives the limiter a recovery moment and makes the next full hit feel more powerful. Short bass mutes, like a little 1/8 or 1/16 gap, can let the kick breathe without changing the overall bass line, and avoid stacking too many low elements at once. If you've got sub, res, toms, and low FX all living together, the master just sees one big low blob. Rotate elements instead of piling them.